This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Full disclosure, this show is recorded, so we won't be taking any phone calls this week. But we do have two great guests with us. We have Harry Spiker, the bear guy from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Wildlife Heritage Service. Is that what it is now? Wildlife and Heritage Service?
Yep, you got it.
Okay. And we also have Brian Eiler, who's the deer guy from the same department. So the two top of the food chain guys are here. Well, almost the top of the food chain. But, the go-to guy. They're all laughing. They're all making faces. They're looking at me like, shut up, Alan. But anyway, here we are on... I guess we're here sometime in September, but the Black Bear Lottery has been open since sometime in July through the end of August. The drawing was on September 3rd, so those of you who haven't heard and don't know, you may as well go online and see if your DNR ID number's been pulled for the Bear Lottery. I'm anxiously waiting mine. We're recording this show in late October. We're recording this show in late August for broadcast at this time. So, you know, we don't know yet, but we know now. Is everybody confused as I am? Since we're recording this show in August, nobody knows the results. But since it's being broadcast after the drawing, everybody knows the results.
Right. I'm with you.
You're with me?
I'm with you.
I'm glad you're with me because I have no idea what I'm talking about. But at least it's fun. Morning, Harry.
Morning.
How's our black bear population?
It is doing well. It's doing well. And I just like to remind those guys that were drawn that there are four counties to hunt bears in now, not just Garrett and Allegheny. We are, the bear population is doing well across all four counties.
Yes. It is. Indeed. Those four western counties, we might add, that would be Garrett,
Allegheny, Washington, and Frederick.
That is from west to east.
That is correct.
East to west, it would be Frederick, Washington, Allegheny, and Garrett.
You got it.
And you said something very interesting in our jam session here in the coffee room before we started recording the show about big bears.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Last year in the hunt, there was a bear over 400 pounds taken in each of the four counties last year. So we've got some big bears out there. There were two that were over 500 pounds last year. In fact, the one was just shy of 600 pounds.
And that's the one in Washington
County. Right.
Robert Marks bear.
Yep, that's the one.
Robert Marks bear was measured by bucks, bears, and stags. Bobby Newton measured that in August, and that bear measured 20 3/16 of an inch. And the black bear measurement goes like this. It's the width of the skull plus the length of the skull. And we have bear boxes. We have, bear boxes that are accurate to the 16th of an inch. And Robert's made not only the bucks, bears, and stags number two spot, but he's also made the Boone and Crockett Club minimum for the three-year book. And then Wayne Johnson, who killed the bear in Frederick County that was over 500, I believe.
Right.
Field dress 420-something, but over 500 live weight. His bear was measured at the Maryland Hunting Coalition benefit. Steve Keithley measured that for the assembled crowd, which was pretty fun. And that bear also made Boone and Crockett.
That's pretty impressive.
20 1/16 of an inch. That's not our biggest bear.
Right.
Ronnie Oberender was measured 2 years ago at the National Outdoor Show in Dorchester County. Ronnie's from Dorchester County, and he killed a Garrett County bear that was over 400 pounds field dressed, and that bear was 20 11/16 of an inch, and that also made it Boone and Crockett. So
yeah, that's an impressive bear.
Pretty impressive. Not the biggest bear killed in Maryland.
Nope. That stands as the 615-pound bear taken by Cody Johnson.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And so far, we haven't been able to reach Cody to get that record in bucks, bears, and stags, but I think we will. So we'll give it a shot again. So anyway, our bear population is in good shape in four counties.
It is.
Last year, 2018, I believe, we had six young male bears killed here in the Baltimore region on the interstate system by cars.
I think it was four.
Four?
I think it was four, but still, that's a lot.
That's a lot for Baltimore County.
Yeah, absolutely.
83 and 95 and so forth.
Absolutely.
And that's not the first year that's happened.
No.
Tell us about why we see bears outside of those four counties, during June, July.
Wow. Right, yeah, and that's typically when it is, June, July. It used to be later. Used to be it wouldn't show up till July or August down there, and that's those juvenile bears that are dispersing. Bears give birth every 2 years. So, you know, if a sow or female, you know, gives birth this year, she's going to keep those cubs with her for about 15 months. And then she kicks them out in May, June, and then they've got to go find a territory of their own, and that prepares her for the breeding season then June and July.
And she kicks them out basically to save their lives.
Yeah,
element.
Yeah, there is that element too. I mean, bears are definitely territorial, no doubt about it. But she kicks them out. They go out. They've got what you end up with are a bunch of confused teenage bears running around.
Yeah.
And they're just looking for a place to go. So, you know, like I said, we used to see it later in the summer, but as the population has grown, there's more bears,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the eastern part of our range, which would be Frederick, Washington County. We're seeing it as early as May now, and every year, Baltimore, Harford, Howard, you know, we've got bears running around these counties. Heck, we've had a bear in southern Maryland this year. Right now, there's one in the eastern portion of Montgomery County running around.
Wow.
Do you remember
a couple of years ago there was a bear on Maryland's eastern shore?
I do.
Queen Anne's County?
That was a great story. That bear actually showed up in September of 08 what's the county right to the north of Queen Anne's?
Kent County.
Yeah, Kent County. Showed up in Kent County, traveled down through Queen Anne's, down to Talbot, back up to Queen Anne's and hibernated.
Really?
It was a male. That bear hibernated. And our typical response there is that bear found his way in. We'll let him find his way out.
Sure.
Lot less stressful on the bear and the people that way.
Right.
But this one he was living the life of a rock star, basically. Everybody wanted to see that bear, so they were leaving out feed and doing everything we asked them not to do.
Of course.
To attract the bear. And so when it came out of the den in 2009, we actually trapped that bear and relocated it west out to Washington County. But the interesting thing, when we trapped that bear, it had ear tags. Here, that bear had been handled by New Jersey's Fish and Game Department.
Really?
It was caught in downtown Trenton, New Jersey, and they just took it out of the city to the closest wildlife management area and released it. And then air miles from there to where it was first sighted in Kent County was 110 air miles.
Now, my mother-in-law won't be listening to this show, but that bear bedded one evening in her flower bed in Queen Anne's County.
Is that right?
They went out, and there were bear tracks across the top of their hot tub cover.
Yeah.
They didn't see the bear, but they knew it was there.
And she'll probably remember that for the rest of her life.
She indeed will. But now we know the history of that bear, which is pretty cool. Trenton, New Jersey.
Downtown Trenton, New Jersey.
How old was that bear? How young was that bear?
That bear was a 2-year-old bear, if I remember right.
Right.
And then when we moved it out to Washington County, I actually, for about 4 or 5 years afterwards, I'd get reports of that bear because we tagged it again. And, you know, we'd get reports up in Pennsylvania, down in West Virginia, in Maryland. And that thing would just, of course, a male bear has got anywhere from a 25 to a 50 square mile home range. So
right.
They cover a lot of ground.
Right. But well, that area in Washington County, I mean, if you look at the geography of Washington County, you've got a valley that runs from Pennsylvania down through Washington County into West Virginia.
Exactly.
And it's just a highway, highway for bears.
Well, and yeah, actually, more so than the valley, bears tend to be ridge runners.
Yeah.
So he was running the ridge right above. And
really?
You're right, and running right up and down.
Huh.
Yeah, we've learned that if you've got your choice. If you drew a tag and you've got your choice whether to hunt high or hunt low, typically hunt high. They're ridge runners.
That's good to know.
Yep.
That's good to know. Not road runners. Not Wile E. Coyote. Okay, ridge runners. Got it. Okay, cool. So, typically, how many people apply for a bear lottery permit?
For the last few years, we've been right around 5,500 is the applications, and now this is the second year in a row we're awarding 800 permits.
800 permits out of 5,500. So the odds are not bad.
Odds are not bad, and for the last 2 years, you know, we run the preference point system. If you don't get drawn this year, then you get a preference point. When you apply next year, you'll get two entries,
right,
and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
and
so I pulled in 15.
Okay,
when I killed my bear in Garrett County, so I've applied every year, so I have preference points for 16, 17, and 18.
Yep.
So now
plus
19,
this year,
so I'll have four shots.
You'll have four entries this year. Yep.
Nice.
And for the last 2 years, the highest number of permits went to people with three points or three entries, you know, on average.
Okay,
so
cool.
So, you know, it used to be, it seemed like you had to wait 8 or 9 years, and that gap seems to be closing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing.
Well, if I do pull tag this year, I know who my sub-permittee will be, and I'll know that we'll be returning to Frederick County near the watershed on private property.
Yeah,
and
great.
I will hope to see the bear that we saw at 15 feet.
Oh, my.
On the last morning of the 2017 season. Yeah. That was exciting.
That always is.
In the pre-dawn darkness.
Right,
running down the trail, thought it was the dog, looked over, and it stopped, like, skidded to a stop. And
right.
I said, that dog doesn't have a white face. Family dog did. That one didn't.
Right.
Kind of close. And I think there were more than one there.
My guess is they'll be right there on that same trail again.
I would imagine. I hope so. Well, look, for archery season is here. It came in on the 6th of September. If you're not ready, get ready for the rut, at least by visiting the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers, and that's Chesapeake Outdoors. They carry the Matthews line of bows, including the new Vertex, which is a very, very nice bow, very adjustable. The Mission Sub-1 XR crossbow, the Raven R26, R29, stacked up like crazy. I mean, I've never seen more Ravens in one spot, and you might want to check that out. A clearance sale on all Hoyt compound bows, 10-point Excalibur, Carbon Express, and Barnett crossbows as well, with custom arrows, bow tuning and accessories, and camouflage apparel for all seasons. Of course, dove season's just in. Ammo, decoys, buckets, and chairs for doves as well. Firearms, muzzle loaders by Thompson Center and CVA, Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, big selection of waterfowl gear, all at Chesapeake Outdoors. Don't forget the fishing and crabbing stuff, too. Exit 39B, Dominion Road on Kent Island in Chester, Maryland, 410-604-2500. That's 39B, Dominion Road, exit off Route 50, 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. Now let's go back to Baltimore. We're looking for some waterfowl guns or some dove guns. Well, guess what? Both are in season, the early resident goose season. We got September teal season. We've got the dove season as well. I want to talk about a couple shotguns from Clyde Sports Shop. First, there's the BPS pump, available in 410, 2012, and 10-gauge. It's a pump-action shotgun with bottom ejection featuring a DuraTouch armor coating in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo. Then there's the A5, the most reliable, fastest cycling, and best balance, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. Mossy Oak Shadowgrass Blades DuraTouch Camo, fiber optic front sight, the humpback design on the receiver, It's a recoil-operated kinematic drive system autoloader shotgun, 100,000-rounder, 5-year guarantee. It's my future shotgun, the A5 from Browning. Browning headquarters is Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, your full-line Browning dealer. Give them a call, 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop, and we'll be right back after these messages. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number 1, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Alan Ellis here with Brian Eiler, the Deer Project leader. You ought to see him imitating John Travolta when that music came on. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Going back to my childhood days.
Yeah, all we need is the mirror ball on the ceiling, and we got it.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. How you doing, Alan?
I'm doing good, Brian. How about you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. So. Harry Spiker's
he's still here.
He's on the sidelines. Yep. You run the sidelines during the first segment.
Yep. So. I'm off the bench.
So, how's our deer population look?
Our deer population looks good.
Good.
You know, the antlerless harvest dropped off significantly last year.
Wonder why?
Last year was a reset year. You know, we made some pretty significant changes reg-wise. I think that's a lot of it. And so I think we carried a lot of deer over, and I'm thinking we're going to have a pretty good year if the weather cooperates.
You did, what, 77,000 last year?
Yeah, 77,382.
Yeah.
Buck harvest was very similar to the year before, but the antlerless harvest dropped off.
Yeah.
And we removed that requirement to take two antlerless deer before a bonus buck. That played into it.
So all the ghost does went away.
Yeah, no, they were real does. So like I said, we're gonna see a good harvest this year. Probably similar to last year.
I
think it'll be similar to last year. But no, we use a buck harvest as a good indicator of what the population's doing.
Sure.
And we've had a stable buck harvest for quite a few years.
Should hunters be taking more antlerless deer?
Yeah, just because we changed the regulation doesn't mean stop harvesting antlerless deer. It helps with population control, but it also balances the herd and grows bigger bucks. A lot of people don't realize that, but
everybody has to eat.
Exactly.
And so, if you're overrun with those, and
that's less food for your antlered deer. And,
right.
Yep. And you can have rut implications. There's a whole lot of science
rut
behind
implications.
That.
You so, mean the buck rut. Doesn't know which way to turn.
Exactly.
So many available
women that they don't know which way to go.
Oh my gosh, it's so confusing.
Yeah, so, no.
Like ladies' night.
Right. No, I have a lot of, you know, I've a fair amount of experience over the years, and I think you definitely have better quality deer, obviously, when you have a balanced deer herd.
Yeah.
So,
but if you have significant does, you know there's going to be bucks there looking to breed them.
Yeah, well.
You don't like that philosophy?
No, I don't like that philosophy.
You don't like
that? No, there's plenty of does all the way around.
Just
because you have more than the neighbor doesn't mean you're
going to have better bucks.
No, or
more
bucks
coming cruising through. Doesn't work that way?
Doesn't work that way.
I got some splaining to do some later.
Yeah, so I don't think it works that way. But, you know, but no, I'll be curious to see what the harvest does do this year. Because, like I said, we had a number of factors last year.
One thing I do know, if you shoot the little ones, the spikes and the 4 points and the 6 points, you're not going to get any big ones.
That's exactly right. So size comes with age.
That's correct.
Among food and genetics.
But
if you're...
Where in Maryland don't we have food and genetics?
Right, exactly.
I mean, other than up in Garrett.
Well, even up there we grow.
Allegheny County, where Harry is.
Even up there we grow nice deer. So
there's no question you do. There's some really nice deer up there.
But yeah, you can have the best genetics and all the food in the world, but if you... take them when they're a year and a half, they're not
going to make it any further, are they?
Right, that's exactly right. They're not going to reach their full potential. So,
I mean, you know, we measure deer with bucks, bears, and stags, and we see really good deer.
Yeah.
And we see deer that are, I mean, they're just right there. And the guy goes, yeah, I should have let them go another year. You know, you should have let them go another year. But people, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with taking the deer you want to take.
That's exactly right.
You know, if you want to take a 6 point,
that's exactly right.
And probably more 6 points than anything in my
life. And that's why we have the bag limit structured the way we do.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you know, as far as antler restrictions go, if you're not an antler restriction person, that's fine. You have that buck that, you know, it can be any size.
But you do have antler restrictions.
We have antler restrictions, but not on all of them. So,
explain the antler restrictions.
So the way our bag limit works is, you know, basically you have a 2 buck bag limit statewide, and then you have a bonus buck in Region B. So those 2 bucks can be taken, and they have to be taken in separate seasons.
Right.
So you can pick archery, muzzleloader, muzzleloader firearms, whatever. And then if you're in Region B, you have the bonus buck.
Right.
You can choose to use that bonus buck either in the third season that you didn't use the regular buck in, or you could double up and take a second buck in one of the seasons that you did.
So
of all of those bucks, one of them can be a freebie, can be any size.
Any size.
And then, but any more than that, if you choose to harvest 2 or to choose to harvest 3, the other ones have to have at least 3 points on one side. And you can take them in any order.
Any order you want.
Yeah, any order you want.
So when you say any order, so if I purchased my license, which I did, and I purchased my bonus buck tag, I don't think I've ever used it.
Right. Maybe once.
Most hunters don't. So, okay. So now here we are at the beginning of archery season, first month archery season.
Right.
And I want to take a nice velvet buck.
Yep.
Okay. So I found a velvet buck. He's a nice 8 point. Boom.
Yep.
Shoot him. Done.
Yep.
Okay. I have my bonus buck tag.
Right.
Okay. So tomorrow, can I take a hard antler buck?
You could. So the one restriction we did put in place when we removed the antlerless requirement was you can't take, there is a daily bag limit of 1 now. So you couldn't shoot that velvet buck in the morning and then that hard antlered buck in the evening.
Right.
It has to be separate days.
Sure.
But if you have your bonus tag, you could go out the next day and shoot a,
and then
polished antler.
What about the third buck? Can I take the third one in the rut?
Not with a bow. Because if you took one during archery season and you used your bonus during archery season, you're done with bucks in archery season. Then
Got
you have
it.
That
so
one
it's
regular
only two,
limit.
2 bucks per season.
Well, with the bonus, using the bonus.
Per season.
Right. If you want to kill 2 bucks in the same weapon season, you have to have use a bonus stamp.
I got it.
Yeah.
It's a little confusing.
Yeah, it is a little confusing.
You know? I can take the next one in muzzleloader season.
Or firearms. Yeah.
Or I can take it in muzzleloader season with the bow.
Correct. Still counts as your muzzleloader.
Still counts as muzzleloader. Or firearm season with a bow.
You can still use your bow, exactly right.
Right.
So
right.
We're a lesser weapon state, so you can use archery equipment in all 3 seasons.
All 3 seasons.
You can use muzzleloader in
firearms
or muzzleloader.
Right.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
So,
what are we using to jump on it this season? Are we still allowed to use spears and
no spears, and we're knives? Not a spear. I think you have to go to Alabama if you want to use a spear.
No spears?
No spear. We don't have a spear season.
How about bears?
We've been asked a couple of times, but I don't think bears either.
No bears. So,
no, no spears.
Got it. You guys are mean.
Yeah.
no spear season, ladies and gentlemen. Just so you know, doggone it. Yeah.
Well, it's been requested. Once.
I'm sure it has.
I think once in my career, I'm sure a request for a spear season, but
jump on them season.
Yeah,
okay.
If you're gonna fall out of your tree stand, might as well have a spear with you. Which brings up safety. Wear your harnesses.
Wear your orange.
If you're
wear
in
harnesses.
Your tree stand.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, the show we did in August, I think it was, I can't remember which one. The NRP finally put the incident report online. They hadn't had them online since 2015, and now all of a sudden they all showed up through 2018. And I read some of those reports. Mm-hmm. The one fatality was an ATV fatality in 2018. Guy in Frederick County got run over by his own ATV.
Yeah.
But there were a number of tree stand falls.
It's always number one.
Number one accident.
By a long shot.
The guy that fell out of his tree stand, Cecil County maybe, admitted to being out drinking the night before, drinking a beer prior to sunrise, and taking a shot of Jägermeister, and then fell asleep and fell out of his tree stand with no safety harness. Can't imagine why that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, wear your harness.
Wear your harness.
And have a safety system when you're going up the tree and coming down the tree as well, because that's when a lot of the falls happen.
And there are a number of those out there.
Yeah, there's all kinds of good
all
systems
kinds of good
out
stuff
there.
Out there. You I think it's Hunter Safety System has a, you don't have to tie the prosecutor knot. They've got their own little sliding system.
In,
all built in. You tie it off at the top or top of your tree stand. You climb, you slide it.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Yeah.
Simple way to save
it. It's a little bit of money up front, but, do you really? I mean,
is your life worth $150 bucks or $200 or whatever it might be?
Exactly.
So, and if you shop around, some of them have preseason discounts and things like that. So, I've got the tree spider system built into my coveralls.
Yeah,
which is nice.
You don't even think about it.
You don't even think about it. You crawl in your coveralls, and the strap's coming out the back, and you take your tree strap, put on a tree, and click it in there, and you're done.
Good to go. Yeah.
But that's always good advice for bow hunters. Yeah. You don't want your wife to get that call in the middle of the night.
Right.
This is shock trauma. Your husband's been admitted.
Right.
That type of thing. And it happens. And it happens all too frequently.
Yeah, it's the number one accident in all states, not just Maryland, but everywhere. It's the most common.
No question.
Yeah, most common accident.
What? After all these years of hunter safety education and that being foremost, all the videos and all the talk about it and all the statistics, I can't understand why hunters are so desperate to get in, 15, 16 feet off the ground and not wear a safety helmet. I just don't get it.
Just an inconvenience, I think, and you always think it's not going to happen to me.
I told this story a couple weeks ago, and I'll tell it again just to illustrate the place where I hunt in Dorchester County. This is sick of deer. There's a number of shooting houses, but there are also a number of lock-on stands. A fellow was there last year or year before, and this stand had been hunted by two or three hunters previously during the season. Climbed in the stand, and both pins on the front of the stand gave way at the same time. And the stand just basically, like a
trap drawer dropped
right out from under him.
Right.
And he fell, but he was locked in. He had his harness. He had a safety line, the whole thing. I mean, he was an advocate for that.
Yeah,
and a very, very stringent about having that done and accomplished. And guess what? He didn't die.
Yeah.
He didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
He was able to swing around, get onto the ladder, and get his get his bearings, but there's no stand. And especially you guys that have metal stands in sick of deer country, remember that's marshland.
Yeah,
that's saltwater.
Yeah,
anything that's steel is going to corrode and rust and eventually go away.
Fail. Yeah.
Hey, let me tell our friends about our listeners about Clyde Sports Shop and Browning Firearms. We're talking about bow season here now, but I'd like to tell you about a couple high end rifles that are available at Browning. Actually, one's not so high-end. One is a really, really nice, reasonably priced combo for a high-powered rifle, and it's the AB3 Hunter. It's an outstanding big game value package with a Nikon scope, a 4-12 by 40 BDC rifle scope, a Nikon Buckmaster installed from the factory, blue barrel in action, walnut stock, now synthetic as well, detachable double-stack magazine with that factory installed sight right from Browning. And they do it right. Available in 243, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm 08, 7mm Remington Magnum, 300 Win Mag. It'll take anything on the planet, almost anything on the planet. But it's the AB300 package available from Browning at Clyde Sports Shop. There's also the Hell's Canyon, which is, I mean, if you're going west, you need this one. This comes in arid urban camo. It has a DuraTouch finish, composite stock, a Cerakote finish, fluted sported barrel with a threaded muzzle brake, a detachable rotary magazine, and all the great Browning features. It's the X-Bolt Hell's Canyon. Three models, Speed, a little shorter, a little lighter, long range, you know, like 6.5 Creedmoor, and Macmillan models as well for the heavier calibers as well. It's all at Clyde's, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, your full-line Browning dealer in Baltimore, Maryland. Give them a call at 410-242-6108. Firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting available as well. Clyde Sports Shop. And we'll be right back after this.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Well, Dorian heading up off the New England coast and towards Nova Scotia for the fifth landfall this weekend, leaving a trail of destruction behind from Carolinas, of course, down to the Bahamas. Our rain chances have dropped now. The clouds are leaving us behind with sunshine. The wind speed's relaxing today, 84 degrees. 61 our low tonight. And sunshine on Sunday with a high of 83. Monday and Tuesday, sunshine. Highs in the upper 70s, lows in the 60s. I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie. More from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Coming Saturday, November 9th at the Gordon Center. Two legendary bands. The Desert Highway Band, a tribute to the Eagles. Then one of the premier yacht rock bands of the East Coast, Boathouse Row, live in concert. VIP and early bird tickets are available now at GordonCenter.com. Don't miss it. The Desert Highway Band and Boathouse Row, one night only. Saturday night, November 9th at 7, presented by WCBM and Music Radio Q1370.
Can we talk about colonoscopies for just a minute? Wait. Before you zone out or change the station, just listen to a couple of facts. Fact. When caught early, colon cancer is 90% preventable. Fact. A colonoscopy not only detects cancer, it can prevent it by removing precancerous growths called polyps. Fact. Lots of people are so uncomfortable even talking about a colonoscopy that they'll never get one. If you're at risk for colon cancer, a colonoscopy is the best way to find it and fix it. That means if you're 50 or older, or 45 for African Americans, you need to get screened. If you have a family history, you may need to get screened earlier. Okay, thanks for not changing the station. You've actually just thought about colonoscopies for a solid minute. The worst part is over. Now that you have the facts, take charge of your health. To schedule your screening today, visit StopColonCancerNow.com.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, we're fighting against childhood cancer every day. At the heart of this battle are our donors.
Most of us want to make some type of difference in the lives of others. St. Jude does miraculous work.
The fact that no one has to pay, it's a place where everyone is treated as an equal.
Everybody is welcome here, and it doesn't matter your religion or what part of the world you're from. All that is taken away. It just gives you some hope.
It's just a nice feeling to put your energy into something that really does genuinely make a difference in a child's life.
There's just no greater gift. If we have the ability to help, then we have a responsibility to help.
Finding cures, saving children. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Find out how you can help at stjude.org.
Soldiers returning with traumatic brain injuries or other serious battle wounds often spend weeks or months in a VA hospital or other rehab facility. DVDs for Vets is collecting DVDs and portable players for distribution in our community and nationwide. Many of us take for granted our access to everyday enjoyments, and DVDs for Vets needs your help in giving these injured soldiers some diversions from the monotony of a hospital stay during recovery. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to www.dvdsforvets.org.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I know what he wants to say. He wants to say now more on Alan Ellis, but he says more from Alan Ellis, so we'll let him slide on that one. We're here with Brian Eiler, the deer guy, and Harry Spiker, the bear guy. We're going to follow up with Harry a little bit here. We talked earlier about the lottery system and 5,500 people, I think, on average apply.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the season. I mean, you gave the location, but what are the dates this year?
October 21st through October 25th this year.
Okay.
Again, Garrett, Allegheny, Washington, and Frederick counties. If you are drawn for a permit, we actually have a sub-permittee system here because nobody wants to hunt bears by themselves. So if you get drawn, you can name up to two people to be on your permit with you, and then that any of the three of you can take a bear, but only one bear per permit. A couple years ago, we changed the rules. We used to require hunting teams to stay in visual contact with each other, and now they don't have to maintain visual contact at all. So one guy
You don't even have to be there.
Technically, you do not even have to be there, which is another change we've made. Used to be that the the permittee had to be present for the sub-permittee to hunt. We've done away with that stipulation. So
we also did away with the landowner sub-permittee.
And that's right. Now you can name two anybodies that you would want on your permit with you. So we've really made a lot of small changes that make a big difference to the hunters.
Sure.
And one of the biggest, of course, is doing away with the quota system.
Right.
The first 10 years, you remember, we hunted quota.
I remember.
And so you didn't know if you'd be allowed to hunt tomorrow or not.
Right.
Well, now it's a straight five-day season. One thing I've noticed the hunter success rate has gone down some since then. Since that change, and I think what's going on there, after talking to a lot of the hunters and some survey work, I think what's going on is guys are actually passing some smaller bears early in the week. Guys that maybe on Monday would have shot a small bear because they didn't want to end up with nothing. Now they're letting it go. They know they have through Friday to hunt.
Right.
So it should be a much more enjoyable hunt now.
You know, I've been on several bear hunts, and you know you're allowed to kill any bear in Maryland, any size.
Right, you know? Right.
And I'm of the feeling that I really don't want to shoot one of those small bears, one of those, you know, 50-pound cubs.
Sure.
Something like that. Just me, ethically, you know. But it's perfectly legal, and a lot of people, I mean, not a lot, but some people will do that.
Yeah, some do. Actually, I've had people that's what they were hoping to get because they want that mount in their house.
Really?
Yeah, that small one. But from a management perspective, if you're a farmer that's getting corn eaten out there, any bear is a good bear
any
to take.
Bear is a good bear. Yeah.
You know, that small bear will grow to be a big bear.
When I shot mine in 15, you and I talked at the check station, and there's a lot goes on at that check station, and we'll talk a little bit about that, about the tooth and everything that you guys do.
Right.
When that bear comes in, and you checked my bear, and it was 150-pound, whatever, female or whatever it was. And you said, thank you for helping our bear management program by shooting a female, actually. You know?
That's right. That's right. If we want to slow the growth of the population, which is our goal, you know, that's an important part of it.
Yeah, taking the – but it's hard to tell.
It is hard to tell.
You know, I've hunted bear in New Brunswick a couple times, too. And the first one I shot up there was a nice size sow.
Right.
But – the second one was a boar, and you got to wait. I mean, you really want to, you know, see what's what. But, you know, I don't know if we have that option here in Maryland. I mean, if, you know, somebody's going to see a bear, it's quite a prize, unless you know there's a handful of bears on the property, and then you might want to pick and choose.
It is, and what I can tell you is that the timing of the season is huge in that October is the key time when they're really trying to put weight on. Excuse me, to go into the winter.
Yeah.
Into winter hibernation. So they're moving a lot. So we put the hunting season at a time where we know the bears are moving a lot to try to increase your odds a bit.
We had five hunters.
Right.
On the first day of the 2015 bear season. And the one guy let a couple bears go.
Yeah.
And I said, why are you letting those bears go? He said, because I've seen double chin, and he's the one I want to shoot.
Good for him.
I said, how big's double chin? He said, you'll know him if you see him. So apparently double chin had been on the property for a while. So,
good for him.
Yeah, so good for him is right. So, but we did take two that day, so that was pretty cool.
That is good.
So, yeah. So the sub-permittee programs changed and that type of thing. So I remember a boy going to a meeting. I think I was drawn the second year, which was five.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I was drawn three times, 5, 10, and 15. But I remember going up to Frostburg and going to a meeting that you conducted.
Yeah, we used to do a pre-hunt meeting, and recognizing it. Yeah, when we implemented the first bear hunt, it was a pretty controversial deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there were a lot of people that did not want us to hunt bears.
Every activist group in the world was in Garrett County that day.
Pretty much. We actually, we were sued. The department was sued to stop the hunt.
Right.
But part of our outreach and what we decided, there was not a strong history of bear hunting in Maryland, of course.
Right.
It hadn't been hunted since the 50s.
Right.
And so we wanted to educate the hunters. You know, what do you look for? How do you tell a small bear from a big bear? You know, all types of things that we covered there.
Sure.
And, but now as, you know, time has gone on and we see a lot of the same people are applying over and over, then we felt, you know, we can just pass that. We still, put together a bear hunter's guide that we share.
I think the one thing I remember was if you know that bears are visiting a public dump site with dumpsters, that makes an excellent stand location. Just get inside the dumpster, and when you think the bears are coming, you slide the door open.
I'm not sure I remember that in the program.
But maybe I'm mistaken.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one, but it was a long time ago.
Gotta have a little fun, folks. So,
absolutely.
Exactly. So we have the bear season coming. I mean, it is a very active season. Nothing like Pennsylvania, of course. You know, 3 days in November, and you know, 3,000 bears get killed, or
right,
something like that.
Right.
We're one what third?
135 last year.
135. But I mean, we're like one quarter of the land mass, incremental amount of counties actually hold bears and are open
right,
bear season, like Pennsylvania. So
right,
you know,
it's a different scale.
But right across the line is Somerset County and some
other counties,
and so there's some pretty good bears that can move back and forth. They don't
absolutely.
I mean, they may or may not be able to read those signs, "Welcome to Maryland," but I doubt it.
Yeah, so, yeah, I doubt it too.
So very cool. Anything else you want to tell the bear hunters?
If you happen to get drawn, focus on food this time of year. That's what bears are looking for. So look for acorns.
Agricultural cornfield.
Yeah. Ag areas are certainly good. You know, hickories are good, but I mean, really just find a food source that time of year. It's likely you're going to find bears. And if you find sign from a bear, there's multiple bears in there.
Any idea what our mass crop's going to be this year?
You know, actually, we're currently doing a mass survey, but I can tell you up where I live, up in Garrett County, it seems like we've got good red oak. Black cherries are doing well, but they'll be cleaned up by the time the bear hunt rolls around. But it seems like red oaks are doing well, and hickories are doing well up there.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I think there should be some food on the ground and focus on those areas.
Are bears discriminating as white-tailed deer? I mean, they prefer the white acorns.
Yes. Yep, prefer the white oak over the red oak.
Yeah.
What I've been hearing, I don't think there's much white oak up there. Now, we'll find out.
Well,
there may be more in
moth,
Frederick. Or
gypsy moth pretty much wiped it.
It did hurt a lot of them, without a doubt. But there's certainly, there are certainly groves and where you'll still find them. But if you have some time to do some scouting, it's worth the trip.
What's the bush with the red?
Pokeberry. Pokeweed. That's what I was trying to think of a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that purple, really bright purple berry with the bright purple stalk, or dark purple, bright purple stalk.
Yeah.
That is like ice cream to bears. They love it. Deer don't seem to bother with it, but bears love it, especially after a frost.
Yeah. Where we bear hunt, there's a lot of those. Very few berries. I mean, they're stomped down.
They're mashed down.
With
big piles of purple bear poop.
Purple bear poop. Yes. Do we need to be afraid of any bears if we're out there? I mean, do we need to carry bear spray? I mean, if you have a high-powered rifle or a weapon, you really don't necessarily need bear spray.
No, and, you know, typically, behaviorally, our bears tend to be the same behavior as large raccoons.
Right.
You know, I mean, my kids and I hike out there all the time, and we go with nothing, so... I mean, typically no, but if you are concerned, I really recommend bear spray. Make sure it's the type that's developed for bears, because it sprays further and it comes out in an orange cloud so you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's legal, and you know, you can buy it at several sporting goods stores or online. Bear pepper spray is very effective.
Okay. Very good. Well, we've only had one bear attack in Maryland, a woman in
Frederick. That is correct. Yeah, in November of 16.
Who claimed she was just walking around in the driveway.
Well, no, actually, it was a lot more to that story. It was kind of the perfect storm there. It was a bear that was used to getting human foods in an area where it's a known bear travel corridor.
Right.
And this woman had only been in her house there a couple months. She'd moved up there from the city, so she wasn't necessarily bear aware.
Right.
In that respect. And then there was... the neighbor's dog was off a leash. Her dog was on a leash, and it happened to be a sow with three cubs feeding on acorns in the dark when she walked by. So it was the perfect storm of events, and it was a tragic incident. Without a doubt. But like you said, that's the only bear attack. You know, we've
perfect
had a bear
storm.
Knock on wood.
Yeah,
and it was the perfect storm.
Indeed. Well, that's some tremendous information right there. The hunt, you know, on, in the hunter's guide, you can just Google black bear or black bear hunt, and there's a special page dedicated to everything right there online.
Right.
You know, you can still, well, we're past it at this point. So it's in the book as far as who's going to get their bear permits and so forth. But we look forward to maybe having you back again after the season and talk about what happened after the season. I do want to mention to potential bear hunters and past bear hunters, I don't care if Grandpa killed the bear back in the 50s. Bucks, Bears, and Stags is a new record-keeping program here in Maryland. It's a private enterprise, and it keeps track of Maryland whitetails, Maryland sika deer, and also Maryland black bears. So if anybody out there is taking a nice black bear, there is a minimum size for scoring the skull of 16 inches, and it's simply length and width. Add the length and add the width together and to the 16th of an inch, 16-inch minimum for getting in the record book.
Right.
You know, we can't put all the cubs and all that stuff in.
Right,
I mean,
although
we want to recognize, but what we want to do is recognize the management, want to recognize the resource, you know, and give kudos to the bear managers, the deer managers, and our department, and then give Hunter the recognition for taking an exceptional
animal.
So bucksbearsstags.com. We're looking for bears. We need bears by September 15th to make it in the upcoming record book, which will be out in December, called Maryland's Finest. That's what it's called. So, all right. Harry and Brian are going to be here for the next hour, hopefully, if we haven't run them out. And I guess we'll see you folks after the news. And get out, stay safe.